Hello, folks. A lot of interesting information has been put out there so far. And my name is Mike Meczykowski. I'm not French. That's Polish, 100%. And I come from Wisconsin, and we're I want to get this in right away, that we're having a conference there in late September. You're all invited. It's in a small town in Wisconsin. And it's going to have to do, I'm going to have about 9 speakers there or so. That's going to have to do with the upholding of the dispensation of the mystery, if you're interested. Because that's what we're supposed to do. Right? Correct. Okay. So I'm going to start, open up with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your precious word that we take totally for granted. And knowing that there were hundreds of years in which people didn't even have access to one page of your word. We're thankful for that. We have your word abundantly, no excuse, and what's more, we've been called to the right hand of the Father through your beloved Son, in the super heavenlies, actually, and that's a matter of fact. And that you chose us before the katabale, which is the overthrow, which could mean that you chose us even before you created anything, which I believe. And that you foreordained us, and you chose us because you knew our hearts, and you knew that we would choose what you presented to us in its awesome glory. And we pray for your blessing upon what I'm going to say, because I'm just dust, and I pray that your blessing through the Holy Spirit in all of us would touch us individually, and that we might, as other men have said already, that we might continue to study in your word, and that we might be approved workmen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, amen.
Amen.
And I would like to say, first of all, that I'd like to thank Bob and his wife and anybody else that put us all together. I'd like to give him a hand. Thank you very much. We know what it's like to we know what it's like to put on conferences.
Pardon me.
And we know the work that it takes. Okay. Hold on. All right, there we go. Great. And what I'm going to get to it, and what I'm going to do is we're going to look at Second Timothy, and you know, the theme of the conference. And I have I'm going to take the study of this from the aspect of our calling. All right. So so far, men have talked about resurrections. Men have opened up ideas that we should follow up on. Wow, this is a tremendous subject, the subject of resurrection. I'm going to concentrate on resurrection in our calling. And I'm going to throw out some interesting things. I put this study together, and people might have different opinions about what I'm going to say. And I'm going to tell you this, that if I could be given 100% of the truth, I would take it in a second. I don't care who says it. Like Ron says, I don't care who says it. I want to know the truth. So I have no vendettas. I have no, when I stand up here and give this, I'm not going to prove this person wrong or this person wrong. All right? I study the Greek, and what I'm going to go into is I'm going to go into 2 Greek forms or words that deal with resurrection in our calling. All right? And it's very important. Okay? It's very important because in our calling, we have different beliefs about certain things. Like, let's say this. We are raised and seated with Christ, right? That's correct, according to Ephesians 2. Raised, seated, together with Christ. Where are we?
Are we on the planet?
Wait, no, I'm serious. Are we there?
No.
Yes.
Or are we here?
We're here.
Okay, well, we might have a difference already. Are we there or are we here? Or both? Okay, you could say, well, what's with this? But this is extremely important to your calling, because there's debate on what this is about. And through what the Koine, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look into two Koine forms that deal with resurrection and that are both seen in our calling. One is a gedo. A gedo, that's how that's pronounced. A gedo or a gairo. It's not a gairo, it's a gairo. And it's always, most of the time, used in a verbal way. In a verbal, an action way. And I'm going to go into that. All right? And, I'm going to go down here. I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm going to go down and I'm going to show you the other form that I'm going to go into. Anastasis. All right? This is found in Philippians 3:11, and it's found elsewhere in our calling, and it usually comes up in a noun form. And so what's the big deal? Well, you'll see that. You'll see that as we go through these two Greek forms. And you could say, well, this sounds complicated. Well, it's really not. It's really not. It's not complicated. It's not super over our heads. But it has to do with being raised and seated with Christ. Some people believe that if you don't believe that we are actually there, you don't know the mystery. Do you know that?
Right.
Do you know that?
No.
Oh, yeah, I've met people that say you are already there. You're raised, you're seated with Christ, you are already there. So what they're saying is they're saying, what are they saying? They're saying that their resurrection has already occurred in Christ. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? This is very important. This is very important. Because I'm going to say this, I'm going ahead of myself. But when we die in the flesh and go back to dust, are we going to have a resurrection? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, well, some people believe it's already been done in Christ.
If we're already there.
Okay, this is big. And so what I'm going to try to do is go through these Greek forms. I'm going to try to go through Scripture and see what Scripture says. Alright? Alright, so I hope that you understand what I said already, because it's very important. Then we read about Hymenaeus and Philetus, right? Philetus. They said that, who concerning the truth of error, saying the resurrection is past already. My mind, Mikey's mind, says, which one are they talking about? Which resurrection is past already? And what I'm going to say to you is I think it's a resurrection that it has to do with our calling that they're talking about. All right, so you could say, well, you're wrong. Okay, I'm wrong. But 2 Timothy is the last book in the Scriptures, I believe. I think it's undeniable, all right, in my opinion. And so Paul is talking about two men that are saying that some resurrection is past already. Alright? So if you believe you're raised in Christ and you don't have a resurrection, what are you saying? You're saying that your resurrection has already happened. Now, could it be that these men were saying the same thing? Could it be that? And then I'm going to say to you, well, if you have a resurrection to come, where is it? Can you prove it? Where is it? Where is it in Scripture? Very important. Very important things, no matter if I'm right or wrong. Amen. And see, it has to do with Anastasis. Now, this might step on some toes, because people believe different things about Philippians. All right? But that's okay. I'm not here with a vendetta. I told you this. I am here to present the Greek. And what about resurrection? So let's take a look, all right? So we go back. We go back to egeto. Egeto. And what I'm saying is, for the most part, whenever you run into this Greek form, it's verbal. It's verbal. It's the action of resurrection. All right? Now, you're going to have to study, like he said yourself. I'm just presenting something in 45 or 50 minutes here. That is probably about as deep as you can go. Yet, it is not without comprehension. We can all do it.
Amen.
Getting into the Greek is not some sort of PhD level stuff. If you want to do it, the Holy Spirit will help you. Believe me, you just got to get off your rear ends and get to it. All right? And I'll tell you this. I'll say it again. That pros in anything they do, professionals, they practice their brains out. I got a dad that's 88 years old that does art every minute of every day at 88. He's an awesome artist. If I did what he did in the scriptures, I'd be an awesome studier, but I don't. And so he is an awesome professional. He is at it all the time. Okay? So, he doesn't know the Lord. Alright? So there are people. And I'm saying to you, that's the way we should be in the scriptures of things. Okay, so we go on from here. Egedo is a lot of times used in the verb form, speaking of resurrection. But it can mean other things. It can mean other things. And I really, it can mean to arouse or wake from sleep. Let's turn to Acts 12. Okay, so. You find egedo in your calling epistles also. All right, that's the point. Soon egedo is found in Ephesians 2. It means being raised with Christ. All right? But it has to do with the action, with the verbal action of being raised with Christ. Now, we were raised with Christ. I gotta spout off as I go. Because we're getting back. Are you raised with Christ? Yes. Yes. Were you raised in Him at His resurrection and you're not here anymore? No. No. You're not. So how do we understand this? Alright? That's what I'm getting at. How do you understand this? How do you explain it? How does the Word of God, how does the Almighty want you to understand it? Well, I'll just say this ahead of time, that in the mind of God the Father, you are already there. Yes, okay. You could say, well, this is what you believe. Okay, this is what Mike believes. We are already there. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. Are you still here? Yes. Did Paul have all these things happen to him? Yes. Did he believe the same things? Yes. Did he strive for a mark? Yes. Did he have a course that he finished? Yes. How could he do that if he wasn't here? All right, I'm going ahead of myself. But I have to because I don't know how much time. But I have to throw this out to you because it's very important. All right, so we look at Acts 12, and I might maybe hurry through this, but this is just to show you that soon egedo, which is talked about as being raised with Christ in our calling, the form is also used in other places in the scriptures. And so I want you to just start getting a flavor of this. Acts 12:5. And Peter, therefore, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him. He egedoed Peter. All right, so now you're saying, wait a minute. He woke Peter up from sleep. Well, then how does that go along with being raised with Christ. How do we understand that? Does that make sense to you at all? Okay, does this make sense to you at all? Okay. Egato can also be mean to lift up a person who's lying down. All right, so what are you trying to do? I'm trying to say to you that if you read Egato and it talks about waking somebody up from sleeping, if you find Egato and it talks about somebody who is laying down, how is it that it applies to resurrection? But if it applies to resurrection with the fact that it doesn't mean that it is a, how can you describe that, a resurrection right from the dirt, it has to do with the action of it, there's something we should understand. Just like being raised with Christ doesn't mean that you are there, literally. Because you are not. Because, as spoken before, you have a chance of reigning with Christ. Isn't that true? I mean, you can say, hey, Mike, you're off. Go ahead. Stand up, do it. Mike, you know, like, wait a minute. Is it possible that we can reign with Christ? Yes. Is it possible that we can obtain a crown in our calling? Yes, it is. Well, how can you do that if you're not here? All right? Again. So, we have to understand something about Egato, being raised with Christ, and what that actually means. Okay? It can also be, and I'm showing you that it can be used of our calling, then it can be used of generally other things. Okay? To lift up a person who is lying down. Acts 3. Okay. And this, by the way, starts to get involved. And like these other men have said, me standing up here for 45 or 50 minutes is not going to do it justice. What I'm doing is I'm giving you a kickstart. Boom. I'm saying, let's say, you guys are the mystery. You have to look into this. You have to look into this and you have to know what you're talking about. All right. So, Acts 3, 1 through 7. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about going into the temple, asked them for money. And by the way, he knew nothing about the Lord whatsoever. He just wanted cash. He didn't have an idea who Christ was whatsoever. He didn't have a bit of faith. And what did they do? They said, and Peter, fastening his eyes on an unbeliever who wanted cash, said, him with John and looked on us, and he gave heed unto them expecting to receive cash. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he made this lame non-believer who wanted cash walk.
Amen.
He didn't have any faith. It wasn't because of his faith. It was because it was a sign. Bam! He was made whole. Bam! Under the power of the Holy Spirit. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, entered into the temple. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Egato. Lifted him up. Oh, wow, this is interesting. How can this form that talks about us being raised with Christ in the mystery be talking about lifting a guy up? Okay, so you got to get in there and study. Okay, so we're going to, I wish I had more time. It's also used figuratively as healing the sick, Egato, in James 5. It's also used of raising Christ and dead believers from the grave, interestingly. So sometimes it can have a noun form, but most times it's the action. All right, you can say, wow, this is beginning to start to sound confusing. But just let me keep on going. It's used of the raising of Lazarus, but not eternally. All right? So you're starting to get some facts about this term, egato. So what am I saying? What am I saying then? What I'm saying is this. Is I'm saying when you find soon egato concerning our calling, it has to do with the action of resurrection, but literally not coming out of the grave. That has to do with anastasis according to the scriptures. Oh, really? Well, what does this all mean? Well, it's what the scriptures teach. It all gets back to, if you're raised in Christ, are you there? No, you're still here. You're here, but you're there in the mind of the Father. Amen. This is how, I think this is how the Greek is bringing this to you. You could say, well, you know, this sounds a little, you know, vague, but I don't think so, because it's something that's there, and it's something that you have to deal with. Because somebody could say this, well, you're raised with Christ, really, where are you? Are you here or are you there? Oh, I'm already raised with Christ. It's a done deal. Oh, really? Are you going to have a resurrection? Well, yeah, well, where is it? Well, then you're going to say, well, I was raised with Christ. Is that over? Well, then you'll be like, possibly like Philetus and Hymenaeus saying, my resurrection's past already. Does that make sense to you?
Amen.
All right. And see, you'd say, whoa, this is kind of wild. Well, like Pete there, I was like, what am I doing? When I started studying this, I'm like, what am I getting into here? I don't know if I want to do this. All right. But this is what I'm getting, this is what I'm presenting, because it's important. And no matter how far I go with this, you have to address this. All right. So now we have anastasis. And now we find that this is usually used in the noun form. And it's literally talking about literal resurrection. Out of the dust. Oh, well, that's kind of interesting. Well, and not to rising from the dead. Look this up. Okay, look it up. And we have a lot of excellent students in here. You're gonna go through this if you want to. It's used of the resurrection, literally, of Christ. Let's turn to Acts 1:22. Okay. Then there are places, I think, like in 1 Corinthians, where they're used together. Also, I'm going to mention this really quick. They're used together in Ephesians 4. We'll look at that. In the same verse, they're both used. So let's look at that. First of all, let's look at Acts 1:22 through 26. And again, for all the students out there, it's here. All right? You'd say, well, Mike, I don't totally agree with you. That's all right. I'm like Ron. Okay. Let's sit down. And Jason back there, he's got, he said 90 years to get it all together. So he's going to, you know, he's going to keep working on this. I know. His brain's milling around right now. Okay, Acts 1. I just want to show you the difference. Beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be obtained to be a witness with us of his anastasis, of his resurrection. Okay, so you're like, wait a minute. How is it that this form is talking about the resurrection of Christ and our being raised with him is egato? How does that happen? Does that make sense to you? All right? Does that make sense to you? Is it just that the Holy Spirit, basically just used two Greek words and there is no difference? I don't think so. All right? I don't think so. All right? I think God the Holy Spirit and the Word is very specific.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
And this is Mike. I don't know if this is the doctrine of Mike, but this is the study of Mike. This is a study. This is not a message. It's a study. I'm saying, okay? So I'm not a preacher. I'm one of you guys who are looking at this. That's how I'm approaching this in this conference. It's a study. And I was sweating myself about giving this. Like, wow, the more I got into this, the more I'm like, I better think of something else pretty quick. But I decided to go on with it. Yeah. All right, so it is there, I know that. Okay, I'm going to move on. Acts 17 is where anastasis is found. It's also used of Christ as being the author of resurrection, John 11. Might as well turn to John 11 and read that. Excellent. So, making a point that that I believe, this is what I believe that I found, that anastasis is more directed at resurrection. At a resurrection, how can we describe that? How can we describe it? What is resurrection? All right, so if we die, okay, think about this. When we die, literally, we're going to go into a box and decay. Okay, but in the mind of the Father, we are seated in His Son in heavenly places. How do we get there? What? How do we get there? How do, whatever we are, our personality, what's the Lord going to save? I mean, this is all about this conference. This is big. This subject. It's like, I think her daughter was your daughter that was responsible. I blame Bob. What are you doing, Bob? Resurrection. What are you, crazy? But it was, yeah. He says, oh, no, blame that girl from New Mexico. Yeah, but it's big. This is big. And so, the operation, however you want to look at it, the mechanism of getting you to beyond all heavens, to getting you beyond all heavens, what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen? All right? So is that a translation? You know, the Word says, well, we're translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, I believe in Colossians. Oh, is that it? All right? Or are we going to have a resurrection? And see, I think that's what this anastasis points at. And I'm going to agree with a couple of guys already that it could be a special resurrection found in Philippians. Okay, so you might not agree with that. And that's okay. But if we all don't, I'm going to say this again. I'm talking about very important things for you to answer. Where is your resurrection from? Think. Oh, you're a member of the church, which is Christ's body? Are you going to have a resurrection? Where is it? Oh, that's not light stuff. Where is it? Oh, I was raised in Christ. Does that mean you're there? No. Well, then what are you talking about? Okay? You better know what you're talking about. That's what I'm talking about. All right? Did you get that? Did you get what I said?
Yeah.
All right. And then you have these people who have different ideas. We're already there. We're not here. And I wonder if these two men said exactly that. And then some people were confused. Oh, wait a minute. Listen to this. Wait a minute. I'm there, but I'm here? Oh, let's see. I got to take care of that kid. I got to put his diapers on. I got to go to work. Wait a minute, I'm not here. I'm there. Who's going to do this for me? I mean, seriously, this is what we're dealing with, right?
Yes.
Thanks. We are.
Yes.
And so I've been around for 40 years dealing with this. And so we have to know this. I'm going to move on. Christ is the author of anastasis. You can study that. And, like I said, I'd probably, to be more thorough, I'd need a whole day or a weekend on this. And then I would have questions. I don't know if I'm going to invite questions because I'll probably do this and take off. but it's used as a subject of hope, and in 1 Corinthians 15, and I believe in 1 Corinthians 15 that the two forms are found there. And maybe we'll concern there. I got 15 minutes left. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 15, 13. You know, that's the resurrection chapter, right? But two of these forms are found there. And so, these two forms are found there. And so, you'll have to study that and figure out what's going on. All right? 1 Corinthians 15, 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose, egato, from the dead, how say some among you that there is no anastasis, resurrection, of the dead? But if there be no anastasis, resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not egato, risen. How do we understand that? Because that same principle is carried over into our calling with these words. Does that make sense to you?
Amen.
All right? Does it make sense to you? Really, am I confusing you?
No.
All right? Okay, because I'm dealing with the same thing. And so, when it comes down to it, this is what I believe the scriptures talk about, and I have a reason for saying that. This might not be what everybody believes. Some great people of God believe that this is not a resurrection in Philippians 3. Let's look at it. Okay, but the point of it is we have to know what we're talking about. Right? We cannot stumble and bumble through the scriptures in our calling. We cannot say we are of the mystery and then not have an answer to such important things. Do you hear me? Okay? Seriously, do you hear that? Because it's true. You could be confronted with people that have a lot of knowledge of the scriptures, and they'll blow you off the door, off the water, and they might not even know the mystery. They might know the Greek a lot. They might, So you got to study. That's the point. Okay, so I could ask you the question in Philippians 3. What we're going to find in Philippians 3 is anastasis all over Philippians 3. All right? We're going to find the noun form for resurrection, like we saw in the other scriptures in Philippians 3. So what am I saying? I'm saying that this doesn't have to do with the action of resurrection. It has to do with resurrection, literally. That's what the Word of God says to me. Because Philippians 3:11 says this, by any means I might attain unto the anastasis of the dead. That is, though I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Oh, yeah, okay, well, I press towards the mark, prize of the high calling, for the prize, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, if by any means, if by any means I might attain, and this is without question, this Greek term. And I studied codexes. I know about codexes. What are codexes? Codexes are the earliest translation of the New Testament known to man. There are three major codexes that all of your translations came from. Codex Sinaiticus, the Codex Vaticanus, and the Codex Alexandrinus. Thank you. All of these codexes were produced between about 300 and 500 A.D. Look it up. Study it. Look it up. I have. In the past 25 years, they found more. They found one codex almost completely of the New Testament called the Chester Beatty Codex. It goes back to 150 A.D. Look it up. Then look up Philippians 3. Look up Philippians 3 in every codex you can. Look up Philippians 3 in every Greek translation you can. And I've done that as much as I could. This, in my opinion, is the correct translation of the resurrection being talked about there. It's the tain. Ex anastasin tain ek necron. What does that mean? This is the only place in the complete Word of God where this is found. It's a matter of fact. And what this means is it means the out resurrection out from among the dead.
Amen.
Double ek, I call it. And in my opinion, this is the correct translation of Philippians 3:11. I challenge you to challenge me. That's what it is. It's an out resurrection out from among believers. It's a special resurrection. Special. My resurrection is here. I'm saying to you. I'm saying that to you because I'm challenging you to tell me where yours is. Then, if it's not here,
amen.
Where is it? You tell me. Challenge. Serious. Where is your resurrection? My resurrection's in Christ. Where are you? Are you here? Are you there? You could say, oh, I'm both. Okay, I'll go along with that. So when you're in the box and you're decaying, what is the function that takes your personality from the grave to the right hand of God? What is it? I'm challenging you to tell me. Is it translation? Tell me. Show me. Is it a resurrection? Show me where it is. Do you need to tell me that you have a resurrection? You could say that to me. I don't need to have a resurrection to show you because I've been raised in Christ and it's automatically going to happen when I die. Okay, if that's what you think. But you're not telling me about any possible scriptural proof of that. Does that make sense to you? This is very important. Does it make sense to you, what I'm saying? Because this is where the rubber meets the road in its biggest way with our calling.
Amen.
All right. What I'm saying is this. When we turn to things, if we suffer, we shall reign. I finish my course, therefore I receive a crown, and it's going to be given to all those who love his appearing. Oh, really? Okay. Let's say Ronnie's and Micah's. Ronnie's going to reign? Do you believe there's reigning with Christ in the heavenlies? Yes or no? If we suffer, we shall reign. How does that happen? Let's say I'm a schnook and Ron is good. He reigns, I don't. Does the scriptures delineate on how that might occur? This does. An out resurrection, out from among the dead. Is there a special resurrection where prizes are given? This would answer it. I'm saying in the Greek. And to all of these questions, if you have other answers, great. Bring them. Show me. All right? But again, we're talking about resurrection. We're talking about being raised with Christ in the mind of God, but you are not there. You are here. Because you have an opportunity for prizes. It says in Colossians, seek those things which are right next to you. Seek those things in the environment you're in, because you're here already. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. So if you're already there, why are you seeking things not on earth? Amen. And that's right out of Colossians. That is our hope.
Amen.
Okay? So, and then I was going to read, I've got like 5 minutes left. I was going to read proof that we're here. I was going to read some proof texts explaining that we are here. I was going to read out of Galatians, where it talks about a believer being dead with Christ, yet I live. I was going to read out of Ephesians 4 that we need a renewing of the spirit of our minds. If we're perfect and at the right hand of God, why do we need a renewing of our minds at all? I was going to read about the redemption of the purchased possession. Has that happened yet? Has the redemption of the purchased possession in Ephesians 1 occurred yet?
No.
No. Okay. I was going to read that hope that is seen is not hope. Have we had a realization of our hope? Have we seen our hope? Well, if you have, I want you to write some novels about it. Because I haven't. All right? So I haven't seen my hope, but I hope for it. That's out of Romans, but it still applies.
It's what Abraham did.
Yeah, it's what Abraham did, right? And then, do we suffer and have a possibility of reigning with Christ according to 2 Timothy 2, 9 through 13? The last book written in the Scriptures, and the answer is yes. And so, do we suffer in the super heavenlies in order to reign with Christ?
I hope not.
I hope not. Okay, so, I know, and I'm going to end with that. And I know these things might be, I don't know how this came across to you, if it was real blunt. But this is, I know, being in this calling for a number of years, I know that this is where the rubber meets the road big. And in us, you could say, well, maybe the Lord doesn't explain in our calling how we're going to get from the grave to the right hand of God. That could be an answer. Are you satisfied with that? I mean, really, I'm talking to believers of the mystery here. You're my brothers and sisters. That's what's going on here. So, do we need to answer that we have a resurrection? I'm going to leave that. I'm going to leave these things with you. Do we have to say, I have a resurrection and here it is? I have a resurrection in Christ, but I'm still here. Oh, well, let me see. How do you explain that? Okay? Is this getting across to you? Because somebody might come up to you and ask these questions. You know, and they might say, well, okay, you're talking about the subject of resurrection here. And then you're talking about these two men that say the resurrection is past already. Could it be that they taught that they were not here anymore because they were raised with Christ? Is it possible that that's what they were teaching? Maybe. I know Dave taught that it might have been a Gnostic belief, and he could be right. He could be right. You know, it was good. His talk was great. And the whole subject of what these men have been talking about is excellent. You know, but I'm throwing out, I think, the most important things I can think of. And so, if nothing else, I'm going to make you think. I'm going to make you say, hey, I have to come up with some answers here. Or maybe you're just going to let it dwindle away, which most humans easily do. You know, but in resurrection, do you have one? Where is it? Can you prove it? Can you prove it through the scriptures? Can you soundly prove it in the scriptures? Can you soundly prove it in the Greek scriptures? Thanks very much.
Amen.